Hey, this is Bedros Koulian, founder of Fit Body Bootcamp and author of Man Up.
Hey, this is Jay Papazan, co-author of The One Thing.
Hey, this is Elena Cardone from The G&E Show.
And if you want to sharpen the skills of networking,
and if you want to learn how to build relationships the right way,
and if you want to build your empire,
you should listen to Build Your Network Podcast.
Build Your Network Podcast.
Build Your Network.
With my good friend,
Travis Chappell.
Travis Chappell.
Welcome back to the show. I believe that who you know is more important than what you know. If you agree, then keep on listening for tips on how to cultivate meaningful connections the right way. If you disagree, then tune in anyway to let me prove you wrong with my journey. My name is Travis Chappell, and this is the Build Your Network Podcast. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Build Your Network Podcast. Today is another compilation episode. We're in the middle of a series about mentorship and masterminds, and there's been some tremendous value been given so far, and I can't wait to share today's episode with you all. But first, you hear my guests and I talk a lot about masterminds here on the show, obviously, especially with these last few compilation episodes that have been going out. If this is a new term to you, or you've always kind of wondered exactly what a mastermind is, you're definitely going to want to take my free mastermind course. It is everything you need to know about masterminds in just 6 short lessons, and it's 100% free. So there's literally no reason to not at least see what it's about. Just head over to freemmcourse.com/enroll to grab that course and start today. This is one of the most frequently asked questions that I get is, hey, Travis, what is a mastermind? You talk about masterminds all the time. I don't really know exactly what that is or what, like, where do I find one? Who leads them? All those different types of questions. If any of those have ever come up in your head, just head over to freemmcourse.com/enroll to grab that course and start today. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another compilation episode here on the Build Your Network Podcast. These have quickly turned into a fan favorite. I actually really like them myself. Really bite-sized content delivered to you directly about a certain topic that you may or may not be interested in learning more about. So today is going to be the first time we've ever just done a solo break off of a series. So it's not going to be a series, it's just one episode, and it's all about having the right mindset. So today we're going to be featuring Elena Cardone, who is an all-around badass woman entrepreneur that is the queen of the Cardone Empire. And if you've never heard her speak in person, highly recommend going to an event and hearing her talk. The stuff that she puts out there is amazing. Go buy her book, Build Your Empire, I believe it's called, Build an Empire. Elena's just got some awesome things. And plus, she's been a really great friend to me during this whole process of podcasting. Just a giver and such a great person, but also gives out amazing, amazing content. So we have Elena Cardone, and then it's going to be Bedros Koulian, who is the CEO and founder of Fit Body Bootcamp, one of the nation's fastest growing franchises. And he basically took that company from nothing to what it is now, which is over $100 million in revenue. They're growing all the time. I think over 800 franchises across the country now, and actually in different parts of the world as well. So Bedros is an awesome guy, put out a book recently called Man Up, which is also a fantastic book. So then we have Elena, then we have Bedros. And now the last person that we're featuring on this episode is Jay Papazan, who is the co-author of The One Thing, along with Gary Keller. He's also the VP of Keller Williams Realty, the largest real estate agency in the whole world. So Elena, Bedros, Jay, all three amazing people talking about how to have the right mindset. So it's not a series, it's just one episode, but it is jam-packed with amazing content, and I promise you're going to want to tune in. But first, really quickly, before we get into that, I want to let you all know that I recently opened up a few more VIP day slots in my calendar. So if podcasting or networking are on the top of your priority list for 2019, this is the most valuable investment that I have available. You'll fly out here to Vegas, spend a full day with me one-on-one, either to help you launch your podcast or build a foolproof networking strategy for you for the rest of the year. The whole experience is catered to you in terms of what we cover and even where we're going to eat all the meals together and all that kind of stuff. Plus, I give VIP day guests access to a few key people in my network who I've invested tens of thousands of dollars and countless hours into building relationships with. So since opening up super recently, the 4 spots I had opened sold out already. So now I'm opening up to 4 more people. So if you're interested in this experience at all, head over to travischappell.com/coaching to apply. And hopefully I will see you here in Vegas really soon. And now here is The Right Mindset with Elena Cardone, Bedros Koulian, and Jay Papazan.
So one thing that I find really fascinating about your whole brand is, I mean, your book's right here, Man Up. This is actually, when this episode releases, this will be coming out tomorrow. So definitely go grab a copy of that. You have a book called Man Up. You talk a lot about facing struggle head on. You talk a lot about running into pain. And that's all stuff that I personally am kind of always been on board with. I'm more that whole like man up mentality. But then I also find this other segment of society that talks a lot about doing the inner work and working on yourself on the inside. And I feel like they're usually opposing forces, right? Like there's this side of men that are like, you know, like, no, like, you know, when you say man up, they get all offended and it's like, oh, I just want to be myself or whatever. And right, blah, 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 whatever, right, whatever they
right,
say. Right?
Right.
But then you have this other segment that's like, man up, don't ever talk about your feelings. Like, don't be vulnerable. Like that's not what a man does, you know?
Yeah.
And so I find really fascinating. Like I obviously prepared a lot for this and listened to a lot of different interviews. One of the more fascinating ones I listened to was one with Aubrey Marcus, where you talk a lot about some of the inner work that you've done to allow yourself to get to the point that you are. But then you still have this other thing of like, all right, man up, like face the challenge head on, like be a man about it. And I find it really fascinating. And it's something I really, really respect about you. Can you talk about how to balance those two like
sure.
inner opposing forces?
See, that's the thing. I think too many people look at it through the wrong lens of that these are opposing forces, mm-hmm. right? In fact, if I want to do the self-work, the inner work, the deep work,
yeah.
I have to man up and face the demons. I have to man up and face my childhood molestation that happened to me. I have to man up and face the fact that racist people were telling me to go back to my own country, you foreigner. I have to man up and face the fact that I was a horrible leader in 2013 and Fit Body Bootcamp franchise almost went out of business. I had to man up and have the most uncomfortable conversations with the people in my business who were a bad fit, but I didn't want to hurt their feelings. Mm. And so I didn't know how to communicate with them. Mm. And so manning up isn't like this tough guy, bravado, macho thing. Man up is stop making excuses, take control of your situation and rise to your potential. You see it in movies and TV shows, sitcoms all the time. It's like, hey, bro, dude, man up and go after the girl of your dreams. Hey, bro, man up and ask your boss for that raise that you deserve. And so there's a segment of the population that thinks it's a gender specific thing. They go, well, I want a woman up. Here's what man up means. Human, right? Mm. I believe as humans, we are top of the food chain. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Like we're top of the food chain.
Yeah.
Yet I can go out in the parking lot here with the camera guys here and you, and we can look in people's cars and you're going to see burger wrappers. You're going to see empty soda cans. You're going to see a car that looks like a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason these cars look like that, because these people are living subpar.
Mm.
If you're human and you're top of the food chain, why are you living like an animal? And if you got a few pounds to lose, why don't you lose those to set a great example for your kids? If you're cheating on your spouse, why don't you stop cheating on your spouse so that you can set a great example for your kids who are eventually going to find out anyway, or you're not going to feel like an imposter or a cheat. All those things are manning up because people go, yeah, but I was in a hurry so I couldn't wash my car, clean my car out. Yeah, I don't have time to work out. Man up, stop making excuses, take control of your situation and rise to your potential as a human.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So whether you're woman or man, rise to your potential. That's what man up is about.
Yeah. And is this a lot of the kind of stuff that you go through in the book?
Absolutely. And it's the six pillars of leadership that will help anybody kick ass in business and in life. Because in fact, the very first pillar is about the inner work. It's about self-discipline.
Yeah.
Become a self-disciplined human where you actually overcome the internal obstacles, the mental obstacles, discuss with a therapist if you have to. I talk about going to see a therapist in there, right? Working with the therapist and going through the dark shit that I had to suppress for years.
Right.
Like you got to first man up and do pillar number one, self-discipline, before you can communicate, get clarity of vision, build a strong team and all this, you know, decisiveness and all the other stuff I talk about in there.
Right. So when you were at that position and you were trying to, you really figured out that, hey man, I just got a bunch of stuff in here that I really got to get out. How long did it take you before you actually took action on that and sat down and said, hey man, can you help me with some of this?
Good question. In 2013, when I said I was a horrible leader and our Fit Body Bootcamp franchise was actually losing more money. It's funny, right? Because in 2008, 2009, the economy crashes and I start building Fit Body Bootcamp with the intentions of making this great franchise. And I go all in. I take all the financial risks. But because I was an ineffective leader, as we grew the franchise and my leadership didn't grow, my leadership became the lid of my success, right? Like I was kept butting up and hitting this glass ceiling. And so before you know it, the franchise is growing. My leadership abilities are not. I'm unable to lead a growing franchise. I was able to grow a small franchise. It started to implode on itself. And it wasn't until I started to really focus on building my inner skills. And so in 2013, well, I should say by 2014, I had this massive anxiety attack, dude. Travis, it was so bad that I thought it was a heart attack. And I talk about it, and I call it, the chapter's called The Morning of My Heart Attack. And I'm 38 at the time, or 37, and I'm like, I die of a heart attack like this? Like, the fitness guy dies of a heart attack? Like, this is
You're envisioning the headline.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. I was like, this has got to be a joke. And as it turns out, thankfully, it wasn't a heart attack. I went to the doctor, and he explained to me that you just had a massive panic attack. Ironically, I had a whole bunch more to follow. And it wasn't until I decided to man up, and because I felt like an imposter, anxiety, I always hung out with my friend Anxiety, right? When I got a therapist in 2015, so there was about a year and a half between the time I felt the first anxiety attack and I got the therapist, about a year and a half. And the first thing the therapist teaches me, his name is Kevin. Listen, you're getting anxiety attacks because you're living in a state of anxiety all the time. I go, what does a state of anxiety look like?
Yeah.
Simple, anticipation of future pain. So if we're always anticipating future pain, well, what was one of my anticipation of future pains? I had a business partner at Fit Body Bootcamp. He was a great human, a good guy, funny as hell, made me laugh, but horrible at running the business with me. Horrible, just awful. Like, I felt like we were not equally yoked. I was doing 80% of the work. He was doing 20 maybe, right? And I'm being generous. And so, but I
He's liked- He's the comic relief.
Yes, right. But I liked him so much, I didn't know how to have the conversation with him. Totally. So the anticipation of future pain was, what is he gonna do next to screw up the business, right? Mm. I kept anticipating future pain that he was gonna deliver. It wasn't until manning up that I had to have the uncomfortable conversation with him, which I would have never had, because I'm a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But when I had that conversation, it was a sense of relief for him. And it was this another layer of anxiety gone. And before you know it, one man up conversation at a time, I no longer deal with anxiety and I sleep well at night.
Do you find that your ability to handle tough conversations directly affects your level of success?
Absolutely. Your ability to communicate during the toughest, ugliest times is in direct correlation with success or failure.
And do you feel like a lot of that came from your therapist sitting down with you and like walking you through, like, hey, this is what's happening, man. Like, you're obviously doing this, which is creating this. And then through that process, like, do you still see the same guy or did you?
Okay. Yeah, I went to him every Monday at 6 p.m. for 16 months. Now I see him about once a month for a little checkup from the neck up, if you will.
Right.
A third party in my life who isn't necessarily invested in my life in a way that my wife and family and, you know, team members are. And so he'll give me this like objective view on things. What I love most is we would role play, dude. In that time, we would role play. I'd be like, well, listen, I don't think you understand. Me and my business partner, like, our families are friends. Mm-hmm. And so what if I say, hey, we should part ways, and then our families can't be friends? He goes, well, let's role play. I'll be him, you be you. And so we would role play. And then we'd go the other way. He was me and I was him, right? All of a sudden, as we're role-playing, he goes, you learn new tools, right? It's funny that people seek coaches or personal trainers, you know, mentors for their business, coaches in athletics, personal trainers for their fat loss, yet we don't seek a therapist to deal with our innermost f***ed upness and inability to communicate, right? Because mom and dad didn't teach us how to communicate, and so we don't know how to communicate. A therapist will role-play with you, and all of a sudden, dude, I knew how to talk to my wife. I knew how to talk to my employees. I knew how to talk to my business partner. And it made life so much easier when I've already role played it with someone, know the outcome, and I can come and have that conversation with you.
Why do you think it took you so long in that year and a half time frame between like the first panic attack until you were like, all right, I got to go check it out.
Well, you know, working with a therapist is kind of has this negative connotation, doesn't
it? That's what I mean.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And I was like, you know, tough guy, nothing's wrong with me. As it turns out, everything was wrong with me. As it turns out, everything's wrong with everyone. Because then I read a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And that book, I forget the author's name, but if someone can Google it and find it, The Body Keeps the Score talks about one out of every four people have had sexual abuse in their life. Wow. And that causes a massive amount of trauma. One out of every three people have had some kind of physical, emotional, mental abuse. Leaves the same amount of scarring trauma in your brain. Like when they do the CAT scan on the brain of people who have been raped or molested or physically beaten or emotionally abused, same part of the brain lights up.
Wow.
Well, that trauma creates lens. We see the world in a twisted fashion, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden for me, I didn't trust guys because I was molested by two older boys, right? I didn't trust guys. So imagine how our relationship would have been 5 years ago if you met me.
Right.
It would have been very different than it is today, where now all I want to do is, hey man, how can I help you? How can I serve you? Back then, I was a person of service But like, I was always like, watch out, what's Travis is gonna
do? It's always you against everybody else.
Yes, exactly. Right. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there was a negative connotation, but the alternative was what? Keep having anxiety attacks, keep taking NyQuil and Vicodin to fall asleep at night.
And actually have a heart attack maybe?
And actually maybe have a heart attack by the time I'm 40. Mm-hmm. So I said, man, I'm gonna go see a therapist. And I didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't until a year later that like Sean Stevenson, Model Health Show, he's interviewing me. Mm-hmm. And I actually mentioned, I go, Kevin, my therapist, and I felt okay with it. And I just started, blah, just all came out. And now I've become like this poster boy of tough guy entrepreneurs who can go see therapists.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And how it's like totally fine and actually really good for you.
Not a damn thing wrong with it. Let me tell you.
I love the way that you broke down the $1 billion mark, because I think it's such... I think a lot of people look at that amount of money and they just, the first thing that pops into their mind is greed. And this is something that Grant teaches on a lot, which is getting rid of that mindset that money is bad and that if you're rich, you're a bad person, that kind of a thing. And so I like what you said about, I know that if he made $1 billion, if he actually got that money from people, that that is directly correlated to the amount of people that he's been able to help in the world. And that was such a fantastic way to look at it, because I think that that it's such a limiting belief for most people. So why do you think, Elena, that a lot of people won't allow themselves to look at numbers like that?
You know, it's a mindset. It's where we grew up. I grew up in New Orleans, you know. I hung out. I was a little street rat in the French Quarter, you know. I'm not supposed to be thinking this way about money. I didn't. We were taught to turn the lights out and to eat the food and to not waste water, and I mean, everything came from a scarcity and there's not enough, and always worried about money. And it's just, I think that's where it comes from. I think people are just not used to being able to have things. The have ability is small.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was a little punk rock chick, and, you know, we thought people with money were greedy, and I had to completely rework everything that I thought. But, you know, it's out there. You've heard everything about people with money. You've heard all the same things that I have. And $1 billion is even embarrassing saying, because immediately I want to defend it or not have people think I'm just in it for the material things, which I'm not. It's interesting, Travis, because the more money that we've had, the less need or desire I've had for things. But it might not look like that because I still like my Chanel. I still like traveling in our private plane. But it's like I don't need those things to make me who I am or fit in or identify with who I am. I am me. I want to help people. And that's, people can believe it or not believe it, but that's who I am. That's, the more money that we have, the more good we can do and we can help more people. I'm just going to be more comfortable in a nicer plane getting around the globe, being able to do that for people.
Right, right. It just facilitates your ability to help others.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what we're all about. Like, I mean, I don't need $1 billion to just go wear a $100,000 Chanel suit and some furs and some heels and go attend some foo-foo parties and make stupid conversation with people. Like, that does not interest me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's so much about that that we could dive into. And honestly, Grant's been a huge proponent for the way that I think about it now, listening to his podcast and the content he puts out there. Because it is taboo, you know, to say like, I want to get rich one day, or I want to be rich and I want to have money. Like it's such, you're just taught to have this, that exactly what you said, Elena, the scarcity mindset from such a young age that, oh, we don't have enough this, we don't have enough that, you have to conserve this, you have to clip these coupons to save money here and do this and that. So just literally shifting your mindset to thinking a different way about it can open up an entirely new world of possibilities.
A little bit earlier, you were talking about travel and about how you were open to new perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important to note, because I don't think that everybody goes into it with that idea. So they might go to somewhere that would have a different perspective. Like you were saying, Bill Clinton is being elected, and where you were from, not a lot of supporters. Maybe where you were, there could have been a lot more. But some people that go into that have the mindset of, no, 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 I'm right. I feel conflict. I don't like it. I'm going back to Tennessee. Do you think that it is just a mindset shift or a personality thing? Like, what do you think?
Mindset.
That might be?
Okay. I don't think that's like a genetic thing. That's definitely a nurture thing. I think some people are more comfortable with change than others, or more open to change.
Okay.
we've got two kids, one that would try everything and one person that wouldn't let their foods touch each other. And it's a little bit of nature, a little bit of nurture, yeah. But like, I kind of was the kid that didn't let their food touch each other. And now I'm the person that mixes it all up. And I think we all can evolve and open up. And I saw some people join us abroad and very quickly kind of let their barriers down and see things from a new perspective. And I saw people who went into protective mode. Mm. I think part of that comes from, if you spend a lot of your days reading books, it's one of the ways that you get to see new worlds through someone else's eyes. Mm. And I can remember as part of that curiosity bug, right? Yeah. Is going, and I love to read novels based on where I'm traveling.
Got it.
Right.
Got it.
I don't read history books on where I'm traveling, but I can read novels. I like to pick up those extra bits. Yeah. But I can remember my college roommate, a guy named Scott, we became obsessed about being writers. And most writers experience the world passively, right? That's the whole idea of reading a book. That's a passive way to travel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we became obsessed with writers that also, like Hemingway, that went and fought in a war. And so pretty early on, I kind of wanted the mix of, I wanted to explore. I was going to do some through books, but I was absolutely going to do some with my feet.
Got it. So you were definitely combination of fiction and nonfiction growing up?
All fiction.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't until pretty much I started working with Gary that I really actively started reading much nonfiction.
Okay. So did you have an idea that you were going to write anything nonfiction?
No.
Okay.
I didn't. I thought I might edit it. I did a lot of editing around that when I was in New York, and I developed some skills around that.
How was that experience?
It was great. It was eye-opening. I got to see the business book world up close and from the inside. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of things, I appreciated it more with distance.
Okay.
Yeah. We called it the salt mine, HarperCollins, because they made editorial assistants do everything. Yeah. And in retrospect, I got to do everything.
Right.
So I got to negotiate contracts. I got to guide books through production. I got to oversee copy editing. I got to write copy for books. I got to edit books. I got to acquire books. And so it was great because as a future author, I didn't know that then, mm-hmm. I got to see the whole process. Mm-hmm. So
during that time period, was that something that was ideal for you? Or was it just like, I want to get a job. I want to learn more about this. So
I wanted to work in books, and publishing seemed like the dream job.
Okay.
And it's great when you're in New York City. I had friends that worked in music, and like we worked in books, and like they would send me CDs and I would give them free books. And, you know, a lot of those jobs in New York, we called them high prestige, low pay.
Okay.
Because a lot of people wanted to work in publishing because they love books. Mm-hmm. And when you've got a line of PhDs outside the door willing to take your job for less, they don't ever pay you very much. And
makes
so
sense.
It was tough to live in New York City doing those jobs, but you also got to go to book parties and meet authors. And if you're a book nerd, that's great.
Well, that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You hear my guests and I talk a lot about masterminds here on Build Your Network. They are literally what I attribute most of the new quality relationships in my life to. If this is a new term to you, or you've always kind of wondered exactly what a mastermind is or what it does or how much they are, how to find one, all those types of details, you are definitely going to want to take my free mastermind course. It is everything you need to know about masterminds in just 6 short lessons. It's 100% free, so there's literally no reason to not at least see what it's about. Just head over to travischappell.com to grab that course and start today. Have a fantastic rest of your day, and remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.